What's up, everyone? It's Noah Daniels, and we're here for another episode of the Real Hauntings Podcast.
Hey, y'all, and I'm JJ.
And on this episode, we have a very special guest, Katie Boyle, a comedian in New York City, and who is originally from Ireland, is going to join us and tell us all about her life in comedy, and we're going to talk some ghosts in Ireland. Katie, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing good, doing good. Yeah, we're recording at 3 p.m. For our fans listening. And I told JJ, especially since the pandemic, I think this is the first time I've seen him during the day. It's a really long time.
For sure. Because you guys usually record at night, right?
Yeah. Usually we record at night. And I mean, pre-pandemic, we would see each other. And of course, things are opening back up now. But yeah, I think this is the first time I've seen light in JJ's room in quite some time.
Oh, you try to keep it spooky? Or like, we're going to record at nighttime when the ghosts are out?
Well,
yeah,
funny.
Maybe it's better we're recording during the daytime. It's a little less scary. So.
And funny you say that, Katie, and maybe we'll play it for you later on, but some people think that JJ, and we should say Kat, it's not on this episode because we are recording during the day. Kat is at work, but some people believe that Kat and JJ's house is haunted, as a ghost tends to bleed into our audio from time to time. So
it's like, hello.
Possibly just an audio issue, but it's a ghost podcast, so we're going to say 80% it's a ghost.
And that's fine. The ghost community are like, if you're going to talk about us, we need someone to represent us. So they're like, hello.
Totally. Yes.
And for our new listeners, kind of the way our podcast goes is we're all skeptics that want to believe in ghosts. So JJ and I are both skeptics, but on very different levels of skepticism. A lot of times by the end of the episode, I can almost be convinced that ghosts are real. And JJ's a little more staunch. Wouldn't you say, JJ?
I'm pretty much not going to be convinced unless like a ghost comes into my room, like full apparition, and just like slaps me in the face. Like at this point, like that's what it's going to take to get me from like sitting on the fence, ghost agnostic, to like full on believer.
But even if you're that much of a how do you say the word? Skeptic.
Skeptic.
I don't know how to say words. And then I chose a job that need words, but if you're that much of a skeptic, then if that happened to you, you'd probably just think you were having like a mental lapse and you'd probably go get medication or check yourself into asylum. So
that's true.
What would it take then? Like, would you have to keep having it even though you've tried all the medication?
Yeah, that's a great question. I need a ghost that is consistent and persistent to just like really get me on board. So
you'd need another person there with you when the ghost like moving things, so you could be like, you know what's gonna happen now? A ghost is gonna fuck with you. He's gonna just only turn up when you're alone. You're gonna think you're having a mental health breakdown, and he's never gonna turn up when anyone else is there. So
yeah, I mean, that's probably for the other people who live in my house, that's probably for the best. But I would be disappointed if I'm the only one who encounters a spirit.
I used to tell them when I was small, don't come. I'd be like, I can't deal with it. Just don't come. Because everybody believes in stuff back home. And my roommate's mother told us that our apartment is haunted. So sometimes when I'm scared at night, I'm like, I can't deal with it. Please don't. Because it would make me have a mental breakdown. I can't be.
Yeah.
I'd be so scared.
So it's pretty typical then to believe in ghosts in Ireland. Is that right?
Yeah. Because even the past generation, so I guess not my father's generation as much, but the one before that all believed in fairies. And there's like a fairy tree in Ireland that they made a big protest because there was a motorway. They were going to get rid of it. And they were like, because you can't piss off the fairies. So they protested. And now the motorway just goes around this one little tree. But yeah, so it's a big suspicious sort of.
That's interesting. Yeah, fairies. Have we covered anything like that, JJ? I don't think we have we?
I don't think so. But that sounds like an environmentalist dream of just like, okay, we got to save these trees. Let's just like say there were some berries or something. Like that's what I would do if I was working in conservation. I would definitely be like, fairies, can't do it. Or Sasquatch. I guess that's like our version of fairies. It's like, if you like find a Sasquatch, it's like, this is a protected habitat now. So,
oh, is that real thing?
No.
Well, the fairies are different because they're, I believed to have lived in Ireland before people came, and then there was a fight, and then that fairy people, so they're like real people, they're not like winged creatures, went down to like the a different dimension basically, and then sometimes they come up to like wreak havoc. So back a long time ago, people would have like babies who are sick or like have colic and be like screaming, and they would think that it's a changeling. They would think that a fairy replaced their baby with a fake baby, and so then they would throw their baby down a well.
Shut up,
I swear to God. So this baby, or they would leave it out in the forest because they would think that if they gave back the changeling, their baby might come back, or their baby's soul would go, I guess, to heaven. But like, they were just really killing a lot of
I'm guessing babies. None of the babies came back. It must have been the soul to heaven part that they accomplished. Yeah. Oh man, that's
probably the time as well, though. They probably wouldn't have had a cure for sick babies anyway. But I mean, colic would have been fine.
Yeah, it seems like just a way to get rid of a festy baby to me.
Like, you know,
we're ready to go to sleep again.
Just so you throw it away.
I was thinking, well, you know, what if you're like all sad and you hate your baby? You know, I wouldn't really kill my baby, but if you're back then, you've no way. I would believe it was a fairy. I'm like,
I guess
okay,
there was no fire department to drop the baby off to back then. So
people didn't have treatments for like postpartum depression. People didn't know what was going on. Like I can see there being different motives for claiming your baby has been changed out with a fairy.
Yeah, so that's why they didn't want to knock down the tree, because you don't want to piss off the fairies. Someone chopped down the branches, and then the branches grew back like the next day or something. But also, we believe in banshees as well, which I think is just cats screaming outside. You know, when the cats scream, like, because they're like, they're like, ah, yeah. That noise people think is a banshee, which means it's like a white ghost lady, and it means like someone's going to die in your family if you hear her or she appears to you.
So many of the like words you're saying, like banshee and like the kind of difference between like how we think of fairies and like regular fairies, I feel like the Disney Channel sneakily taught me these things through the show Gargoyles. Did you all ever watch Gargoyles?
Yeah, I did. No. When I was a kid. Yeah.
Man. Just so many weird, trippy like fairies and gargoyles, obviously, and banshees. So I'm like, oh man, this is like ringing a bell somewhat. So.
Well, I think it's interesting because, you know, obviously the history of America is much, much shorter than the history of Ireland. And Katie, do you think that's why you all have so much lore wrapped around the supernatural?
Yeah, I guess so, because it was a Celtic and king and queen country before the Brits took us over. It was also like an equal country, like very equal base laws for women and stuff like that. And then a storytelling culture as well. So yeah, I guess so. And they just love telling stories, like sitting around the fire telling ghost stories. And so,
and we should establish something we typically do at the beginning of our episodes, where our audience kind of knows where our guest falls on their believing in ghosts. We kind of call it our believe-o-meter. 0 meaning ghosts aren't real, 10 ghosts are absolutely real. Where do you kind of fall on that scale, Katie?
Oh, with everything, I'm like, who am I to say nothing isn't real? So if you're like, God is real, or Buddha, or aliens, or ghosts, sure. I don't need to see it to believe it. I just don't want to see it, you know, because that would scare the shit out of me. So I'm just like, whatever. I don't have any strong opinion on any of it, to be honest. I do have night terrors and a little creature crawls on my chest. So I think that's just sleep paralysis.
Yeah, we've heard
what
a lot
of creature. Do you mind if I ask?
Well, it depends on where I am. So if I'm in Ireland, it's like a fuzzy thing. But if I'm here, and I haven't had it in a long time, but I've also done a lot of work on my mental health. So I think it's more of a me thing. I had like a shitty childhood. Some parts good, but enough to give you really bad nightmares. But in America, it'll be like a person in the door. But it hasn't happened in a while, so that's great. But yeah, I a lot of people get that as well. It's just something like you're not able to get into your REM sleep. And I get lucid dreams where I can control what happens in it. And I can like walk around and be like, I'm going through this door. Or I didn't like that ending. I'm going to do it again. It's fucking weird. I can wake up and go back into them as well.
Yeah, so, I've talked about that on the podcast. You and I are very similar in that way, I guess. I see spiders and I haven't had one in a long time. And I've been battling a cold. And I took some cough medicine last night to help me sleep, and it came back. I had a night terror probably around 3 in the morning. I had my laptop with me in the bed, but it was closed, you know, because I was sleeping. But in my night terror, I was able to see a spider crawling on top of the laptop and staring at me. And I shifted real quick and like woke up. And of course, there was nothing there. And I was just like, yeah. God damn it. Like, you know,
it's so weird. Maybe you're right. Like the cough medicine is interesting because I don't drink. I didn't drink as much in the pandemic as I did before. And I don't drink as much now. So I wonder.
Well, you're one of the few. I know. I've been going through like 3 boxes of wine a week, but
yeah, I just like drinking with my friends and having like as a sociable thing. So I would have probably more after shows, whereas during the pandemic, there was nobody to drink with really, like, or maybe the odd time when I would like sneak out like a bold person. But I had a dream recently where I got hit in the head and it woke me up, but there was nothing for me. My head was sore when I woke up and there was nothing. I don't have a bed board. I wasn't near the wall. So also there is this thing that if you can lucid dream, that there's a potential to be able to your conscious leave your body. So what's it called? Astral project, which I don't want to do because I don't want someone to steal my body. So I'm like always freaked out that, and I don't want that as well, because then your ex could just be like chilling in your room and is conscious. But there's just people who believe that. So it's kind of like ghosts, I guess. It's like your conscious just roaming around. If that is turns out to be true, then maybe there isn't ghosts. It's just the conscious like roaming around still.
Well, I'm curious. Do you typically remember most of your dreams right when you wake up?
Yeah, for the most part.
Yeah, in the same way. That's interesting.
Fucked up.
Yeah, I think... my understanding is that people like you and I never really fully reach REM sleep. And that's why we have these issues.
It's so sad.
Are you a light sleeper?
Yeah. I wake up every once in a while as well.
Yeah.
Y'all got to get a CPAP. Let me turn this into a sleep apnea podcast. I'm just saying a CPAP, if you've got sleep apnea, a CPAP is where it's at.
Life What's a CPAP? Changer. This thing?
Like it's like, yeah, it's like Batman? That like, weird, like,
yeah, I have a new boyfriend. That I'm not going to be like,
find someone who loves you, even if you wear a CPAP in your sleep, and then, like, and you're golden.
What if you don't love yourself enough to have one of those? I feel like that's.
Then you got work to do.
I mean, that sounds like expensive as well. I'm fine. I'll just deal with lack of REM. I don't have money. This is a machine.
It's
machine
not-
money.
You know, you're subjecting yourself to more health problems down the road, though, if you're not getting adequate sleep. This is totally turned into a sleep podcast. I'm going to step off my CPAP soapbox so we can get back to spooky Irish ghost.
Well, Katie, I'll tell you one more sleep kind of ghost thing that I had happened to me. I was a teenager, maybe like 14 or 15. I was in my room and it was during a bad storm. And so it was like lightning thunder. So the thunder woke me up, but the room was still bright from the lightning. And I was still, I guess, in that kind of whatever gives us the ability to see creatures during those night terrors and sleep paralysis. I guess that was still going on. And I saw a woman's face in the outline of like, you know, brightness, like from the lightning right in front of me, like scream, like mouth wide open, yelling at me.
That's Banshee.
Yeah, that's, well, there you go. Yeah. I mean, it was awful. And I told my parents, cause it really freaked me out. I ran down the stairs and my mom was like, you know, they were asleep as people do in the middle of the night. And I was like, here's a ghost. Da, 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 da. And she was just like, maybe it's an angel. And I was like, it's not an angel. There's nothing about that was an angel. But anyway, so that's kind of my last sleeping ghost story, but yeah, crazy stuff.
So is a banshee, is that like, you know, according to the lore, is that like someone who has passed away, or is it just kind of like a spirit that exists outside of like people?
I think it's, I can't remember. I think it's funny. You just are told these things as a kid and you don't ask. You're just like, okay. Right. I think it's just a spirit outside of it. I think like a screaming woman, and it means like death is coming. But my roommate is from Peru. She said she saw, I don't know if I'm allowed to share this, but she's hardly ever going to listen to this. She said she saw like a cat, like a cat in the room, and she got sage. She saged it out because she said it's like a ghost cat and you have to sage it out. And her mother came to visit and she only speaks Spanish. Okay. She's always shouting at me as well, but I'm like, I don't know how to articulate that. I don't understand, but she was convinced I understand her. And then she told my roommate that there was ghosts in our apartment. And I woke up at 6 a.m. to her in my room saging it. But it fucking scared the shit out of me. I was like, the ghosts are letting me sleep. Fuck's sake, this scary woman speaking a language I don't understand, waving sage over me.
That would scare me too.
Yeah. There's another comic you guys should have around. Her name is Youngmi Mayer, but she says she talks to ghosts. So just side note, while I remember that, you guys, she's told us about talking about ghosts to the ghosts one night, and I came home and I was fucking terrified. I was like,
yeah, we'd love to talk
all
to
the
her.
Doors, lights on. I sleep with lights on sometimes as well because I get scared. Because you know, the light keeps them away.
Yeah, of course. Right. It's Ghost 101. We know. What are you talking about?
That's why we're recording this at 3 p.m.
Yeah. Oh, there was another girl. She's a bit of a see you next Tuesday of a word. We say that in Ireland casually, but I know you guys don't.
I just spelled it out. I was like, wait a second.
She's a girl who knows my friends, and she's just really argumentative all the time, like, which is like, we're in our 30s, there's no need for that. But my friend, and again, she's not gonna listen to this, so it's fine, but my friend was like, well, you see, she's tired a lot because dead people talk to her at night. And I was like, regular alive people don't even want to talk to her. I hardly think dead people are talking to her. But then I said that to my boyfriend, and out loud I was like, but dead people don't talk to me, if you, because I would be like that too. I'd be so tired and sad. So because it's just, that'd be awful if they're just whispering in your ear the whole time.
Now, Katie, has any of your family back in Ireland experienced any supernatural occurrences?
Yeah, all of them. Everybody says they see shit. My stepmother has a story about it, but her story, multiple members of her family have experienced the same story. It's a woman in a white dress, and it's in the same place in one of their family home. And I was sleeping, and multiple people have the same story. They saw this woman in a white dress. So I went back there because I was going back to do comedy, and that house is in Dublin, and they were letting me stay there. But every night I went to sleep, I did the same thing. I just said out loud, please don't come to me, I can't handle it. So she didn't come to me, and I slept with the light on. Their poor electricity bill, they're probably like, this bitch, the fucking electricity went up for the 4 days she was here, and slept with the light on the whole time.
As a comedian, did you kind of want to put on a white dress and go scare everybody?
No, because I would hate if someone did that to me. No. And I'm pretty sure my dad has some story. I can't remember though. But yeah, everybody's like, just like, yeah, they all kind of believe in all that stuff for sure.
Yeah, that's
fascinating. Have you seen anything that made you think like, oh, this is something supernatural?
I always lean to that. So before we got on this podcast, my drink started stirring itself and there was nothing to stir it. And I was like, it's the ghost. But then I was like, it's probably just the vibrations of someone downstairs. I'm trying to think, is there any, I don't think I've had any really other than the night terrors. So no, my grandmother, I used to be afraid of ghosts when I was small, and my grandmother would always be like, ghosts are fine, it's real men you should be scared of. So that was pretty I was like, okay, yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, statistically, yeah, like, you know, most instances of like bodily harm and murders and stuff is committed by living people. So
yeah, I do believe that there's something like to do. I don't believe in heaven and all that. Again, if it's real, sorry, Jesus. But I'm like, I'm not, what I believe in is probably that either you're gone when you're gone, or that there is energy, like a soul type of thing, and like that maybe you go to a different like soul-y place. I don't know. Yeah, right. Like our dimension or plane. So if that is true, then that explains why people have like those maybe encounters with like ghosty things.
I do like the idea of us dying and then them being like, welcome to the soul-y place. Just like, all right.
Yeah, we just chill. I love having a body though. So when people are like, oh, they hope that that's real, I like that. I love my body. And so we already know we don't take our body because our body stays here and rot. I don't want to be, well, I just like having a body and being a human. So I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm on board with keeping the body. I'm invested in that.
It's also fine as well, just living one life and enjoying it.
No, I need multiple lives. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I don't know if I want. I wouldn't want to live forever either. You know, this, like, I went on this date a while back and the guy was like, he's like a scientist, and he was like, the next thing we're going to do, like, we're working on like extending life or whatever. And I was like, that sounds awful because. Yeah. Yeah, I just think there's the reason why life is good and you should enjoy it and it's precious is because you have a limited time, ideally. Right. Like, it'd be just better to focus on like curing cancer and letting you have a good quality of life while you're here than fucking extend. And you know, well, it's just going to be those rich fucks who get extended. Us poor people will be down here rotting away, you know?
Yeah. So. I know that Noah is like terrified of death. Would you, if someone gave you a pill and was like, you can live forever if you take this pill, not like an extended lifetime, but like forever, like until the sun blows up, would you take that pill, Noah?
Yes.
Really? But what, you're going to watch all your family die and your loved ones? And
I'll
your
make
lovers.
More family and loved ones.
Mm-hmm. No.
I think you would get so bored, though.
I don't. I'm pretty good at entertaining myself.
There'd be no
myself.
Meaning. There'd be no reason, like doing comedy or pushing your podcast. There'd be no, like, the whole point of it is like, okay, we've got limited time. Enjoy it. No, fuck that.
I don't know. I could finally maybe get all that attention I need.
Pushing out these episodes.
Also, you... Did you not see that movie with the blonde haired girl and she lives forever because she got hit in the head or something? I don't know. I don't know. She had to keep
That's the solution.
No, she had to keep on the move because America, of course, would like turn you into a science experiment. So she had to keep using different identities. She could never settle. It looks miserable.
Dude, I would turn into a vampire if that was an option.
I would hate that.
But like logistically, I just think that would be a nightmare. I mean, like, what?
Could still do comedy.
Someone from like the Social Security Administration is going to be like, isn't it weird that like this person is apparently still alive?
You're like, I just want to work nights. I want to just work.
I already work overnights. I mean, I'm pretty much a vampire as it is, like, you know. But yeah,
That was a good segue into Dracula being created in Ireland, right?
Hey, So I always thought Dracula was like, I'm so ignorant about European geography.
So
I'm like, is there a real place called Transylvania? And like, surely that's where Dracula is from. But you're here to tell us that's not the case.
Okay,
so.
Just because I'm from Ireland doesn't mean I have European geography skills. I don't even know. I would have never even referred to myself as European until I came over here. I was like, I don't think Europeans refer to Irish people as European either. Like, oh,
well, you're in the EU, so
we're in the EU, yeah, and we're obviously part of the continent of Europe. But Transylvania, I have no idea. Is it real? I think, like, obviously, vampires are based from. There's a lot of folklore as well in Eastern Europe about like dead people and stuff and coming back to life, and something to do with. I don't know if this is an Irish thing or an Eastern European thing, but they would leave. I think it's an Irish thing. Sorry, I'm just. Side noting, because I read a book once and it reminded me of this story, but you would put a bell over the grave and then you ding it if you're still alive.
Yeah.
And there's some, they definitely did it in Ireland because I remember seeing it in a ghost tour. But they definitely did it in Eastern Europe as well. There's all these things about people coming back to life and they're like, and then the stories of vampires and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, that was like a real problem, wasn't it? People being buried alive. So
yeah, I think it's been exaggerated, but I remember My Favorite Murder did an episode about it. It definitely was a thing because they would like open caskets and find fingernail marks in the caskets.
But why would that happen? Would they just be unconscious and they think they're dead?
Yeah, because they didn't like embalm people and stuff back then. I mean, now like it's impossible because they're going to make sure you're dead. You know, I mean, with embalming, you can't come back.
Surely they would know how to take a pulse. Like,
yeah.
But there is things maybe where your pulse goes really low or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah,
People die. People die and come back to life as well. So
yeah, we had a guest on who her and her brother both drowned they drowned and they pulled them out of the pool and they were quote unquote dead for like 10 minutes.
And they both came back.
Mm-hmm.
That's what confuses me about the soul thing. Because if your soul really leaves your body and then someone makes you come back, what happens? Does the soul go, oh shit, I'm coming back? Or because if that the logical reasoning is that we don't have a soul thingy, we are just a lot of electrical currents. And then when we're shut off, like when you turn off your laptop and then someone shuts you back on.
Well, if movies have taught us anything, you go meet God and you start a conversation and then he's like, it's not your time yet. And then you back into your body, right?
Oh,
that's what happens.
Yeah. Well,
I was just reading this article about how like neuroscientists have like proven that like when you're dying and your like body starts to shut down, like the last thing that happens is your brain just like your brain kind of like slows everything down, tries to like conserve as much energy as it can, and then when it's like time to go, it's just like it lets out all of these like brain waves and brain signals that's just been holding back. And that's like like what people are experiencing when they're having those kind of like near death visions and stuff. And it's possible to like reel it back and like bring someone, like revive someone once that's happened.
I don't want to die.
Thank you.
I love life.
Same.
I mean, eventually, but
yeah, when I'm like 80 or 90 or 100.
So speaking
Noah wants to live longer than all of us. Probably just out of spite. I think it's a little selfish, Noah, that you want to live forever.
I have a kid now. I have to live forever. But speaking of, well, I don't even know what my segue was. Anyway,
speaking of vampires.
Well, Dracula wasn't written by a Cork man, a man in Ireland that I know that he invented the character Dracula. Dracula. But he also, didn't the same guy invent Frankenstein? No? Did I make that up?
I think that was Mary Shelley.
Oh, you're right. That was Mary Shelley. She's English, is she?
I think so.
Who did Frankenstein?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Bram Stoker?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I have a book here by Yeats, and it's Irish Folklore and Fairy Tales. And it just has all the different creatures, like where they came from and what they are, like the leprechaun originally. The fairies are Dina Sheed. That's the name for them.
Well, I'm curious, Katie, do you believe in, you know, demonic possessions? And do you believe that people can be, you know, exorcised of demons?
I don't want to say I don't in case it happens to me. But if I
should
just
note for the audience, she's holding up a cross.
And I'm kissing it. If I all of a sudden have like a breakdown on Instagram, you just be like, she's possessed. But I don't know, like who's to say what's real and what's not real? I think like nowadays, if anything happened, like you should go to like the doctor before a priest. But there's just so many stories. It's like, maybe it is real, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird to me that like, I mean, obviously I'm going to be like, no, it's not real, but it is super weird to me that like movies like The Exorcist, those are based off of real stories. And there's like real people who witness that kind of thing.
Well, yeah, we had a guest on and out of nowhere, she was like, oh yeah, my great, great uncle was one of the priests who performed the exorcism based off the movie The Exorcist, or vice versa. And we were like, what? Just out of nowhere. That wasn't even why we brought her on. I was like, I honestly didn't even know that was based out of a quote unquote true event.
Yeah, it is based off a true event. So, and then there's like all these stories of things that you're like, I don't know how you're like trying to logically figure out if how it could be fake. But
yeah,
especially at the time where they didn't have like the stuff we have now, it's more like easy to fake shit.
Yeah, for sure. And more rewarding now because you get clicks for it, you know, whereas back then it's like, what was the big reward? Well, we, you know, as skeptics, we're always curious about the supernatural, and we are going to attempt to book a seance in Savannah, Georgia here in the next couple months. So
my dad would let me smoke cigarettes, and he got a little mad at me when I drank early. He was like, please don't do that. But he said the one thing never to do is a Ouija board, and I've never done it.
So would you like to come to our seance? Is that what
fuck
you're
no fucking no, you're crazy, don't do that. Because the thing is, I don't know why anyone would do that, because firstly, you want to talk to your dead uncle, let him go, don't be calling him back, he's chilling up there. Secondly, if there is evil, why invite it in? And no matter whatever door you open, you're letting in, there's always going to be good and bad. So I just would never be letting, if my partner dies one day, touch wood, I'd be like, he's gone, I'll see him in a few years. I'm not fucking seancing. And what do you need to know? What do you need to talk to him about? Imagine being called back as well. He'd be like, fuck off, leave me alone. I dealt with you for 30 years. Now you want to talk to me again? But yeah, you're just letting evil in. When is he going to get possessed? Oh, Jesus.
You don't want to come perform like 15 minutes before the seance. You could just do that as yourself.
That'll scare away the evil. They'll be like, fuck this, I'm not listening to comedy. That'll be a good protection.
Yeah, well, we're going to film it. So at least if crazy stuff happens, we'll have it to put on TikTok. So, you know, isn't that what life is all about?
Yeah.
And that's why you're going to live forever, is to put things on TikTok.
Yeah, well, doing my best.
So, Katie, I'm wondering, and maybe this is like a weird question, because all the like folklore creatures we've talked about so far seem terrifying. But like, do you have like a favorite kind of lore creature?
Yeah, I guess I like the fairy people because I like the stories of them, and there's so much stories of like, well, actually, I guess all the stories are kind of sad now that I think about it. I don't know. I don't think I have a fairy or favorite creature. I just like the general stories. Like, there's stories about how the two worlds would mix. So there was a guy who fell in love with a fairy woman. But in the fairyland, time goes much slower. So he went down to live with her. And when he came back up, she said, don't ever step off your horse, because when you touch the ground, because you're human, time will catch up with you. And then he went to help someone and he fell off his horse and he like morphed into an old person. There's a lot of morphing into old people in the stories. So they're all kind of sad.
I think that was on True Blood. I don't know if y'all ever watched True Blood, but I think they did a little segment where that exact same scenario played out.
Oh, see, there's so, I'm telling you, most of these things like Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, all of these, there's so many things you see and you're like, this is just Irish stories that we grew up like. It's all taken from that. But yeah, there's loads of things. There's like the Children of Lear. They were these kids who their mother passed away and their father is the King of Lear. Lear is a lake and he married the mother's sister, which is like, all right, I guess same thing. But she was like really jealous of the kids, so she turned them into, she's also a witch, part witch, so she turned them into a swan, maybe part fairy person, but I don't know, something with magical powers, and she turned them into swans and they were cursed to roam Ireland for 900 years. So 300 at this lake, 300 another lake, and 300 another lake. And there's two endings to the story. There's one where they then meet a priest and he takes the curse off them and they morph into old people and they die. And there's another one where they meet like a druid. So there's like a post-Catholic Ireland story where they, you know, they Jesus stood up, and a pre-Catholic where it was like a druid. But either way, after 900 years, they just morph into old people and they die. So it's not, yeah.
It kind of sounds like, I don't know if either of you are Star Trek fans, but there's usually like a Star Trek trope where it's from like the original series, like the 60s, where they're like, oh, there's this beautiful alien. And then at the end, they're like, oh no, it's like a hideous old person instead. So I feel like Star Trek is pulling a lot from Irish lore that I never knew about.
Well, Katie, can you explain to us what druids are? I have a general understanding, but I'm sure there's a lot of our audience that has never really investigated or understand what the druid culture or history is.
I think it's just basically like a priest or priestess of like Celtic beliefs. So what are they, like paganism? So they're just like the head of that. And they do all these like pagan things, rituals, like, because we've Newgrange, so like the summer solstice, we have a lot of those things where they would have been built to for the sun god. And so the druids are just people who can do that, and like I believe they can like make it better, but with like herbal remedies and stuff like that. So like every tribe or every culture at some stage has had some sort of form of a druid. We have doctors now, they're just druids, aren't they?
And it predates Christianity, right?
Oh yeah, whenever Christianity came to Ireland, it predates that. I don't know how old Christianity is, but yeah, it way predates Christianity, right? Because Christianity is just when Jesus came along,
right?
Yeah.
Because Newgrange has been there forever. They were pagans all the way up until, I don't know, I guess whenever, I think, I don't know when Catholicism came to Ireland, but I thought it was when the Brits came, but I'm sure someone listening will be like, no, that's not, maybe it was sooner.
Well, and another thing I was kind of curious about with the fairies, is that where fairy godmothers and stuff come from? Or is that part of the culture or lore?
I have no idea. Fairy godmother, that's, I don't know. That's just something you tell your kids, isn't it? You're not going to, if you die, your fairy godmother is going to look after you or something. I don't know.
Well, go ahead, JJ.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Noah.
I was just going to say, I still like to think of fairies as being little tiny people with wings, but I guess that bubble has been burst now.
Yeah, I like the better version, which is that they're like real people who live in a different dimension. It also seems more real. There's something to do with leprechauns as well, that they're not Lucky Charms creatures. They're actually different. The leprechaun theory is that they were also the fairy people, these leprechauns. So they were Dina Shead. And then when they were defeated by the humans, because then they morphed smaller because something to do with they weren't as important to God, to the God, whoever they believed in at the time. But I don't think like as small creatures, I think that that was, a lot of that was romanticized over here in America.
I can't believe we almost forgot leprechauns. So do you know people that believe in leprechauns?
I'm sure like my granny probably did, but it's not like these little ginger creatures. You know, also, can we get the ginger fact right? Only 10% of Irish people have ginger hair, but anyway. It's like, it's actually, red hair actually originates from Central Asia. I don't know where the stereotype, most people would think Scottish, but... or Ireland, obviously, but they are not meant to be creatures with gold and stealing your rainbows. The original one, I can't remember, I have it here in the book. I'll grab it quickly. Okay, give me 1 second. Let's see if I find it, because this is the book. It's Irish folklore. Oh, never mind. It's not WBH. It's Gordon Harvey, whoever the fuck that is. Oh, I think he has a story in here by WBH. But yeah. Shit, let's see quickly. Oh, the leprechaun, 87. Okay, I've got it. Do you guys want
to
hear?
Yeah,
yeah, I'd love
okay,
to
hear. Cool. People are like, what the fuck? She's reading a book. Okay, so, oh, well, yeah, it says that they were shoemakers, so never mind that. That blows my theory out of the water. I was gonna be like, they're not, but it just says leprechauns are merry, industrious, tricksy little sprites who do all the shoemakers' work and tailors and cobblers for the fairy gentry. Oh, so they work for the fairies and are often seen on sunset under a hedge singing and stitching. They know all the secrets of hidden treasure, and if they take a fancy to a person, will guide him to the spot in the fairy rath where the pot of gold lies buried. It is believed that a family now living near Castlereagh came by their riches in a strange way, although all through the good offices of a friendly leprechaun. That's nice. See, they seem sound like they're friendly. Yeah, that's really it. Just, oh, and he says, okay, I'm going to read this part because this is interesting. Sorry. And then I'll stop. There was a poor boy once, one of the forefathers, who used to drive his cart of turf daily back and forth and make what money he could by the sale. By the way, I find it hard to read out loud. But he was a strange boy, very silent, moody, and the people said he was a fairy changeling. For he joined in no sports and scarcely spoke to anyone, but spent his nights reading, blah, blah, blah. And then I guess he met a leprechaun. That's pretty much it. And then he got gold and now he's rich. But he was apparently a changeling. He's probably like autistic or something. I know that's awful to say, but like, that's probably what, is that okay to say on the podcast? But I'm sure back then they didn't
you
know.
You just got us canceled. Thanks a lot.
No, me canceled. But I'm sure back then they didn't know about autism or like shyness, right? Or like my grandmother, she was a nurse. Fucking back in the day. She said that they would put, people with mental health issues and people who were, mentally challenged in the same group, because they didn't know about it at the time, and it took years later, and she worked the whole time when they finally figured out that it's a different thing. So imagine then a couple hundred years ago they were probably just like hadn't a clue, so they were just like, oh, a fairy must have switched out my child,
right?
And it all comes back.
I think that's probably what like a lot of that kind of like, you know, old stories about like possessions and stuff. It's just like, oh, this is just like people not understanding mental illness. And
yeah
but, well, guys, way to end on a high note. That's that's fascinating.
Well, I would like to just bring it up to a high note, because I thought it was really nice that those leprechauns seemed really friendly and helpful.
Me
and
too.
I feel like normally when we hear kind of like, oh, this is what like that thing that you think you know really is, it's always something like really dark and twisted. And so I was full on expecting like Leprechaun, like from the Jennifer Aniston movie that's terrible, just like something like horrible like that. So I'm glad the leprechauns can be like kind, generous little tricksters.
And Katie, before
Before
we get you out of here, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you. So obviously you're originally from Ireland, as we've discussed. Are there any like misconceptions that you feel like Americans have towards Irish people that you would like to clear the air on?
Yeah, I get annoyed that people will always be like, tapping the morning to you, and nobody, it was like one fucking movie, Darby O'Gill and the Little People, and they just have never, you guys Americans have never let it go. No one in Ireland says tapping, no one. I've never even heard my grandfather say that, so it's not like an old people speak. It was for like one Irish person who came to America, and they were like, oh, we all say it. That's the thing as well, then a lot of Irish Americans hold on to their culture from the famine. So Irish Americans, Irish is very different to Irish people. I'm actually getting in trouble from this on TikTok because someone asked me, is it okay to say I'm Irish if I'm Irish American? I responded saying, I don't care. You can say you're from the moon for all I care personally, but Irish people do get annoyed about it, and it is easier just to say that I'm Irish American. Now people are getting really mad, and they're like talking about other cultures as well. I'm not fucking talking about that. But, and they're like fucking gatekeepers, people from Ireland. And it's not that. It's just, I grew up in Ireland. That's a modern country. So I come over here and Irish Americans from like, who really are time capsuled in a culture where they probably speak Irish better than me. And they know different stories to me. They'll be like, Bagora. And I'm like, I don't know what you're fucking saying. Or they like Irish dance. And it is lovely to see that culture represented, but it is different. Just because I'm from Ireland doesn't mean like the people will be like singing old Irish timely songs to me. And I'm like, I grew up listening to rap and hip hop. So... and I love Irish music too, but it's not to the same extent. So I just think the culture here of Irish culture and like the Kiss Me I'm Irish and the Paddy's Day, it's just not as that, like I would never get a shamrock tattooed on me. And like, that's also fine. If you're here, you want to embrace your culture. I have found the longer I stay here, the more I'm like with my Irish friends, we might talk in Irish, which we would have never done. And it's fucking bad Irish, but I totally understand grabbing onto your culture. But it's still different. Even if I grew up, if I stay here forever, I'm still different than an Irish American just because I grew up in a different Ireland. And they're coming from an Ireland where their grandparents are telling them stories and the way it is. Oh, I didn't grow up in that Ireland.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You know, and that's cool that, like, I don't know, I didn't realize there were like so many Irish Americans who could speak Irish, because I feel like most people,
not all of them, but there's a few who are take it really seriously.
Yeah,
fucking Ireland on their forehead.
I feel like a lot of Americans don't even realize that there's like a language, like an Irish language, like it's,
or they
like,
do, and they think English is my second language because I get complimented on my English a lot.
Oh wow.
And Katie, do you get offended when people think that you're just going to be an alcoholic because you're from Ireland?
I don't drink a lot, and they'll always be like, for some reason the joke, and it's nearly hacky as well, because they'll always be like I'll say, well, I went to Vegas with my girlfriends like 2 weekends ago, and every person I've said it to, I've been like, they've been like, oh, did you get hammered or did you drink loads? And I was like, oh, I actually I don't drink a lot, and but my friends are drinking more than me, and they were like, oh well, then they must have been drinking crazy amounts, because I'm sure you're not a lot is like loads. And I'm like, I have like three drinks on a night out. Just because I have an accent doesn't mean I'm an alcoholic. It's so annoying. And another thing that's kind of annoying, another thing is as well that I know that we're like three white people on a podcast, but the perception that it's only white people from Ireland, and it's actually become very like a lot of different cultures have moved there over the years, like before I was even born. So like my ex-boyfriend is black, he's from Ireland, and anytime we would meet someone, they would ask me where I'm from, I'd say Ireland, they'd ask him and he'd say Ireland, they'd be like, no, where are you really from? And he was like, I'm fucking from Ireland, I'm not joking. But it's just they'd never been to Ireland, they have this perception that we all have red hair, freckles. And it's just annoying. It's like, it's a modern country. So and my friend, her parents are from India, but she was born in Ireland, and she really struggles with that as well. She lives over here now, and she has to always be like, I said I'm from Ireland, I'm not. And they're like, but where were you born? And she's like, fucking Ireland. So that annoys me too as well, that you can make a wild opinion or judgment on a place you've never been. Or they'll tell me I don't have an Irish accent. And I always say, have you been to Ireland? And they go, no. Or where are you from in Ireland? And if I don't say Dublin, there's no, like, I mean, it's just, you don't even, like, okay, a lot of things about me.
Well, thank you for letting me get you revved up. So that was.
Sorry. Love you. I do like Irish Americans as well, though. I don't want them to listen and think I don't like them, because they are very nice and supportive.
Oddly enough, we do have a decent listening base from Ireland, so it'll be fun to, as one of the other reasons I wanted to get you on, because
oh my god, all the Irish gonna write in and be like, what's she talking about? That's not true about the about the leprechauns and Dini Sheed, or they're gonna correct my pronunciation and be like, this dumb bitch.
There's gonna be one that's like, I am a leprechaun and here is
they're gonna be like, we're all redheads.
No, but thank you so much for coming on. That was an absolute blast. You did not disappoint. I don't know, it's one of the things I've really enjoyed as our podcast has grown, as the variety of guests we're able to bring on. I mean, JJ and I interviewed somebody from Australia like 2 days ago, who reached out to us, and it's just crazy. When we started this thing, I don't think we ever thought this would get beyond us just interviewing our friends in the comedy community in Atlanta. And now it's kind of popped
You're
open.
You're in Atlanta.
Us. Yeah. If you come down, let us know and we can promote your stuff. And yeah, we'd love to meet you and hang out and stuff.
Yeah, we'll have tea.
Awesome. Yeah. How cool is that? Wow. That's just really cool. Well, sorry. I have a cold and I'm on medicine, so my brain's a little flighty, as you can see, as I didn't record the podcast when we started. But
that was fine. I'm glad I said something now. I was like, because usually I wouldn't want to be like, because I was like, I'm being an idiot.
It literally didn't happen for like a year. And then now it's happened like six times in the past couple months. And it's so embarrassing. I'm not the kind of person to do that, but I tend to keep doing it.
Fine. It happens to, I was on Jared Fried's podcast and I was saying to him that that's like my biggest fear. And he was like, oh, it's happened to me. And like, he's a massive podcast. So like, don't worry. It happens to everybody.
Well, and before we get you out of here, we want to absolutely promote your podcast. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, it's called The Shift. It's a dating relationship anti-shame podcast. I don't think I said this upstairs because I think I said it before, but it's basically I came over here and everybody's like really loud and open about sex, which in my country were quite quiet about it. So there's like things I didn't even know. I didn't even know there was things that men liked until I moved over here and they communicated, or kinks. I went to a sex club. I didn't perform in it. I just went to like report back to the podcast. So, and then I've had like next week, I have a friend of mine who's a stripper on and she talks about that. So it's all like sex positive. But I have a lot of shame with sex as well. So it's like talking through that. I'm not like, the problem with that is men sometimes date me and think because I have a sex positive, but I had a date with one guy and he was like, yeah, so you do the sex positive podcast. I'm a dom. And I'm like, that I don't want to be dominated. Like, just because I'm like having people on who, the whole point of the podcast is that I'm like, Jesus, that's wild. But I don't want to think that it's wild. I want to understand it, but it doesn't mean I want to do it. So,
yeah, no, I can relate in a sense because I'm from the deep South. I'm from Mississippi originally, which, you know, sex stuff is very repressed. People don't talk about it. And then I moved to Atlanta and, you know, was in a much more, have a much more liberal friend base than I grew up with. And yeah, it is fascinating to see the differences in cultures with sex. So I'm sure your podcast is awesome. I can't wait to check it out. I saw that it has a 4.9 on iTunes and has like over 200 ratings. So you're absolutely killing it. Congrats.
Oh, thanks. Well, we'll see. I'm always like, you know yourself, we have no self-confidence in these things. But yeah, I love doing it. That's the main thing.
I can't even get JJ to listen to himself on the podcast. And he has a great podcast voice and he won't.
I can't bring myself to like I'll try to start an episode and like, as soon as I start talking, I'm like, no, I can't. This is,
and we have these, we do like a improvised Christmas Carol episode every year and JJ plays Scrooge every year and he freaking kills it. Like I have fans write in and say it's their absolute favorite thing that we do and he won't listen to it. I'm like, JJ, just listen to the fucking podcast.
Well, it's so nice to meet you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And Katie, before we get you out of here, I know we talked about your podcast, but where can our fans find you on like Instagram and TikTok? I know your TikTok is amazing. That's where I found you.
Thank you. At Katie Boyle Comic on everything. So come give me a follow because it's all I have.
No underscores. It's just one word.
No, just Katie Boyle Comic. It looks like Katie Boyle Le Comic. No, Katie Boyle Le Comic, but it's not. It's Katie Boyle Comic. A lot of people think I'm French when they first come to it.
And that's B-O-Y-L-E, right?
Yeah. And K-A-T-I-E. So,
okay.
Yeah,
awesome.
Comic. Thanks.
Yeah. Guys, make sure you go check Katie out, support her. And we obviously appreciate her coming on the podcast. With that, I'm Noah Daniels.
I'm JJ.
I'm Katie Boyle.
Yeah.
All right.
right, Katie. I meant to woo too. I did.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. For sure. Yeah, thanks so much for coming on, and we really appreciate it. That was a lot of fun.